On my high school team, we had five guys make the NBA.
We had the county rocking.
It's the mecca of basketball.
There are those who come before us, upon whose shoulders we stand.
It's nothing that you can do to stop a competitive edge.
It's just in the water.
My brother Jack.
Oh my God, we back.
Let's go. All the smoke.
Just getting started, baby. Just getting started.
Welcome back to a special quarantine edition of All the Smoke. Coming to you from LA, myself and my brothers out there in the ATL. What's up with you, Brody?
Man, excited. Man, I'm just really excited about this show, man. I'm really excited about who we got on the show today, man. Mm-hmm. You know, I already think I got hands. You know, I done laid a couple people out, but not like my brother that we got on the show today.
Introduce him, man. This is your guy. I appreciate it. People been asking for him. I've been asking for him, and you delivered, man. So tell us who our guest is today.
Man, you know, I represent the Lone Star State, man. You know, the big Texas state, man. And this is my brother, champion, young champion, but going to be here a long time, man. My brother, Errol Spence, man. Welcome to the show, man. D-Town's own, man.
Hey, what's up, man? What's going on? Glad you had me on.
Man, thanks for coming on the show, champ.
No problem.
So how is everything? How are you handling this lockdown quarantine situation with you and your family?
I'm handling it pretty well. I mean, this is like training camp to me. When I'm using training camp,
You're on lockdown, right?
Yeah, we're on lockdown. We don't do nothing. So you know, I've been training. I think I lost about 15 pounds already.
Really?
I'm taking it real serious. My auntie and my uncle, they caught corona. And my cousins in New York caught corona, too. But they're doing fine right now. So, you know, everything's been going good.
Prayers for them, man. Prayers up to them. So you said they all recovered from it?
Yeah, they all recovered from it. So I'm happy.
Cool.
You also get to spend time with kids.
Yeah, man. My two babies are 3 and 4 years old. And, you know, we've just been spending a lot of time together, going outside, running around. You know, they've been in the house, trapped in the house, can't go to school. So
right.
They just been tearing everything up inside the house, so you know, I let them get away with a few things.
For sure. What's up? Hey, so what's training like? You know what I'm saying? I know you said you've been training. What's that like today? I mean, you know, you with everything going on, all you can do is train. Like, it's different from like when you're training for an opponent. Now you're just training just to stay in shape, to stay on top of things.
Yeah, right now I'm actually training to just lose weight because I'm a guy that get high in weight. I get to to the high 180s, probably like 185, 186. So right now I'm running 2 times a day. Running the morning time 3 miles and running at night about 4 or 5 miles in a sauna suit. And then when I go to the gym, we just hitting the bag and then I'm hitting the mitts 20, 30 minutes with my coach. But it's just me and him in the gym. Like, nobody else can go in there.
Okay.
Yeah, shout out to DJ. DJ, that's the connection I got. He came to a couple of Big 3 games, and me and him plugged up, and then we met at a couple of fights. So shout out to your trainer, DJ, man. He's a good dude. He's a solid dude.
Appreciate that.
Dope. So you're fully healthy right now. I mean, obviously, depending on this pandemic, do you guys have a target date of next time you're supposed to get in the ring?
It's supposed to be either October or November. I don't really have a target date yet. You know, I got into a bad accident last year. And October 10th, I got into a bad accident. And then, you know, that kind of delayed my return because I was supposed to come back in that January. But then I got hurt, so I've been out for a while. So, in all actuality, this pandemic really been helping me out a lot. And recovery and just, you know, taking my time to get back. But I'm already back. I'm 100%. I went to a facility in Cleveland where they checked me out, checked my brain, gave me MRIs and things like that, and everything went well. So, you know, everything's been going good. I think I'm 100% healthy.
No restrictions, right?
No restrictions in my training set sparring. I can't spar yet because I got my teeth knocked out, and I actually got they put 2 posts in my mouth, with 3 posts in my mouth, and I'm waiting on them to heal, and once they heal, then I get my permanent teeth, and then I'll be able to spar.
Yeah, bro, I've been there, bro. I got into a shootout, got hit by a car in Indiana, knocked all my teeth out, so I've been there, bro.
Dang. Oh, they put posts in your mouth, too?
Now they have to put posts, but I had to have plastic surgery on my lips and my teeth with no anesthesia for 2 hours.
Mm. Oh, man.
Well, talk to us. Take, Take us back to that that night. Obviously blessed to still be here. I think the world has seen the actual accident. October 10, 2019, you escaped with your life. And a funny, not funny, but, you know, I've heard people speak and you speak on not wearing a seatbelt possibly saved your life.
Yeah. I was,
talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, man, just being reckless. I just won. I just beat Sean Porter. So, you know,
that was a hell of a fight, by the way.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. I want some money on that fight, too. I want some money on that.
Hell of a fight. Y'all boys are going at it.
Appreciate that. So, I just beat Sean Porter. So, you know, I feel like I'm on top of the world. You know, I'm having fun with my friends. We going places. We just came back from Miami. Well, I drive my Ferrari. I had a Ferrari 488. You know how fast those is.
Them things.
Yeah, they fast. And something happened. I had stopped, and then it just flipped. They just flipped over, and then I got ejected from the car. Because it was a convertible. I got ejected from the car, and then, you know, the rest of history. I woke up in the hospital, and I don't even remember being in the hospital. The only thing I remember being at home about 3 weeks later.
Thank God.
So what kind of, what damage to your body? You spoke on knocking your teeth out. Any other major damage? No other major damage to you?
I think Angel's with me because I didn't break any bones, no fractures, no anything. The only thing that was hurting, like my neck, my hip was hurting, both my shoulders hurting. All this was scraped up. My shoulders were scraped up. My legs were scraped up. But, you know, I came back. I came, you know, basically, you know, unscathed. Like, I mean, I should have lost my life that night. And I definitely would have lost my life tonight if I had a seatbelt on.
Man, that's crazy, man.
That's crazy, man.
Let's take a step, though, right back before that situation, September 29th. You know, like you said, you unified the belt, beat Sean Porter in a hell of a fight. talk to us about that experience, man. That was a crazy fight. Jack and I both obviously shouted you out. You know, I've been a fan for a minute. Jack been a fan for a minute. We did our little shout-outs, but to be able to watch you two go to war and you come out on top and pick that belt up. Talk to us about that.
It was a great fight. I think I made it a lot harder than it was supposed to be because, you know, just the weight drop. I came down from, I think, 189 pounds, you know, to 147. So in a matter of probably 9 weeks. So the whole training camp, I was running 2 times a day, you know, hitting the bag in the sauna suit, you know, just training in sauna suits and just replenishing myself, losing weight. And I just made it a lot harder than it was supposed to be. And, you know, I could have made it a lot easier. It was a great fight. You know, we both showed a lot of heart and determination. I know he's been calling for a rematch, but unfortunately, that's going to have to wait. You know, I got a lot of... I don't want to see that again. Yeah, you got guys like Manny Pacquiao that I've been, you know, trying to fight. He's the cash cow right now. He's the cash cow. So that's a guy I definitely want.
Garcia, Bud Crawford been talking. Yeah. You got some formidable opponents ahead of you. Real quick, I wanted you to touch on, though, because I don't think people understand. I used to play football, so I used to try to do the quick, but the cutting weight and how hard that is mentally, physically, and then, like you said, you sound like you walk around about, what, 185 normally?
Yeah.
That's your normal walk-around weight? So to come down into the 140s, like, as athletes, we know how, like, for, like, a basketball foot, that shit is impossible. But tell me what that process is like, and then how hard it is to kind of, like you said, still have your full energy and be able to take a punch and do all that shit when you're down, like you said, in 9 weeks, down almost 40 pounds. It's insane.
Yeah, you basically have to cut everything. Like, your water intake, your food intake, you're running twice a day. Like, I was running twice a day in a sauna suit on my pant, on my legs, a sauna suit up top. You know, I'm working out in a sauna suit. You know, I'm not drinking that much water. I'm probably drinking probably like 26 ounces a day.
Really?
You know, if that, you know, I'm eating probably twice a day. You know, I'm doing all that just to drop this weight so I can, you know, so I can win. But it takes a lot. It's a lot of hard work. But, you know, I'm always in shape. So, you know, I don't think that played a big difference in a fight because I'm always in shape. But I think, you know, if I would have been more disciplined and would have cut it a lot earlier, it would have been a way easier fight than what it was.
Hey, I remember seeing this video. I know you remember. You in the hood. and some big dude in the hood want to just try you thinking something sweet and want to go blow for blow to the body. And I say this how I knew, you know, I'm from Texas, so I can see certain neighborhoods and I know what it looked like in Texas. I say this how I knew Earl was the real one. Big boy called him out, wanted to go blow for blow right there. Somebody pull out the camera, you folded him up. And he had you about 100 pounds.
Nah, that was my partner D-Ray, but that's what we do. Yeah. He just got out of jail too, so he thought he was tough. And I guess he knocked a few dudes out in jail and things. So he got out thinking it was sweet. So we called it. So we got in the gloves, went body to body. We get in the gloves and go body to body, and went blow for blow. We didn't get that's how we didn't get in the gloves. We just fists. It was just
fists. That's all I'm about to say. Y'all wasn't even in the gloves right there.
We wasn't in the gloves. Yeah, it was just fists. Well, that's what we do. We just body to body.
Straight up.
We call it man up. That's what. Yeah.
How would a Floyd fight play out today, with both you in your primes? If Floyd was in his prime, you in your prime. Talk to us about what kind of dream matchup that would be.
100% focus in my prime. I think I'll beat Floyd.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta give us
because you ain't running. Earl ain't running. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Earl gonna walk him down. Earl want to be shoulder to shoulder with you the whole fight.
I like to lock up.
Talk to us about that, though. You can't just tell us. You go to talk to us. What would be the game plan, the mental strategy of that?
Well, Floyd really, he's very mentally tough. Very mentally tough. You know, I would cut him off. I would use my jab. A lot of people, even the Oscar De La Hoya fight, Oscar De La Hoya should use his jab a lot more. I would use my jab to throw combinations. I work the body and then work the head. Because a lot of people, they go to the head and then work the body, or they go for the head and then you can't hit them in the head. And then, you can't hit them in the head. So I work the body and work the head and then just try to break them down physically, because I know it's not breaking them down mentally. He's just one of those top fighters. Just like Sean Porter, you're not going to break them down mentally. You can break them down physically, but mentally he's always going to be there. So I would just try to, break them down physically.
Tough. There's been a back and forth a lot with you and Bud Crawford, obviously trying to figure out who the top, best welterweight is. Obviously, you got the belts, but what is that like, a back and forth? He just said something recently, I want to say just a few days ago, talking about he said he's going to fuck you up with some shit like that. What has that been like, back and forth? Because all it could really be right now is speculation and talk.
Yeah, right now, just back and forth talk. Me and Terrence Crawford, we actually FaceTimed each other before. And that's why, that's why I got somewhat kind of respect for Terrence Crawford, because we FaceTimed each other. We talked about it, We talked about it. We came to a mutual understanding that the fight's going to happen. It's a lot of politics involved, and, the money might not be all the way right now, but it will be right, and we're going to fight. But, guys like him, I kind of respect. Guys like Keith Thurman, I really don't have that much respect for. Danny Garcia, I respect him. When I see him, he comes off as a stand-up guy. Now, Pacquiao, he's a stand-up guy all the way around. But it's just some guys that I just can't mesh with. But, Terrence Crawford, he's a real dude in my book. But it's definitely going to happen.
You got to make sure that fight's on Showtime, because me and Jack going to be front row suited in
front row. Yes, sir. Let's talk about your Texas ties with the Charlo brothers. A lot of people don't know how y'all connected and how y'all became so close. And I know some of y'all got the same trainer, but talk to us about that.
Me and the Charlos actually got cool in the amateurs. We was probably 15, we got cool. And then actually, one of the Charlos beat me. I can't remember which one. I think it was Jamal.
Don't say that. Yeah, I know that come up all the time.
Yeah, he beat me in the amateurs. I was like 16. He beat me in the amateurs. I was 16. Then we just got real tight. And then Jamal had turned pro. No, Jamel had turned pro, and Jamal stayed around. Then me and Jamal got real tight. He got super tight. And then after Jamel left his coach, Jamel asked me. He was like, "Man, I need a coach, man. You think I can work with Derrick James?" And I respect Jamel, because he came to me first. He came to me, he was like, "Yo, you got a great coach. Can I work with him?" And he came to me before he even came to Derrick. And I was like, "Yeah, sure, no problem." So he started working out with Derrick, and then started coming down here, and then we just got even tighter. It was like my brothers from Houston right there.
That's what's up. Basketball being obviously a team sport, boxing is you. You in that ring by yourself. It's a little harder sometimes to break through as kind of an individual household name. When do you feel like you became a household name through boxing?
Oh, I think I became a household name. Where I really started seeing it when I fought at the AT&T Center. When I fought at the AT&T Stadium, and you know,
sold that thing out.
I was like, you know, I made it. At first, I was nervous. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, man, y'all want me to sell this out? Like, you think I can do that? I was like, y'all trying to embarrass me. Y'all trying to have... He was like, nobody understands. Y'all trying to embarrass me. You think I sell this out? They're like, yeah, you can sell it out. And then when it happened, I was like, man, I can't wait to do it again. But it was just a humble experience of seeing, you know, people from my hometown and people that I grew up with and just seeing familiar faces in the crowd and everybody coming out to watch me fight. You know, it's just a great experience, a humble experience. Like, man, all the people came out to see me win. You know, even if they seem to see me lose, you know, it still came out. You know, that's what I loved about it the most.
So we know you got a long boxing career ahead of you. You got a lot to do. But what are some things that you're getting into now that you setting up for after boxing? Like, what are you gonna do? I know you commentated a couple fights. You know what I'm saying? But what's some things that you interested in doing after boxing?
I got a promotional company where I got a few fighters on there. Birdie Brooks, you know, Mom Rashidi, you know, a couple guys. So that's doing this thing. No guys, they're about 6-0, right? He's 6-0. Yeah, he's 6-0 right now. So he's doing his thing. 6-0 with 5 knockouts. So he's doing his thing. And, you know, basically just saving my money, man. Saving my money. You know, make sure I don't waste it buying crazy things, buying Rolls Royces and all type of off-the-wall things. So that's the main thing for me, just make sure I save my money and just, you know, stay focused, keep winning, keep stacking the bread.
They got some little kids down there in Port Arthur, Texas. When you start looking for boxers, they got some little roughnecks down there that need a shot. For real.
They in Port Arthur. I know they strong, too.
They down there with it.
The country strength.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, you know, any of the three major sports, football, baseball, basketball, we all kind of resort back to fighting, boxing, UFC. Mm-hmm. We're all huge fans of that because, I mean, that's that one-on-one. To me, boxing is like the most manly, and UFC is like the most manly shit you could do. You know what I mean? Like, you could be tough on the basketball court, the football court, but them motherfuckers in the rings is really tough. You have a lot of fans, obviously, Jack and I being one, but you built a special relationship with Damian Lillard. And, you know, you talk to us about that relationship because you even got him boxing now as one of his training methods. And I boxed for my career. I still box. And that shit, to me, is one of the toughest workouts I've ever done.
Yeah, I mean, boxing has always been my first love. Even, you know, since I was a kid, I mean, people played basketball and football. Well, walking home from school, he was going to get into a fight with somebody. Yeah. Like, he was going to get a fight with somebody. Like, and I had an older sister, too. So, you know, dude say something crazy to my older sister. You know, you have to fight. You know, my sister used to fight all the time. I remember walking home from school. My sister used to fight every day. So, I mean... You know, it's sad to say, you know, that was just, you know, something that, you know, we always did, you know, even as little kids. I mean, I was in like second, third grade, walking home from school, watching kids fight and getting the fist fights and stuff like that. It was just the culture. But, you know, me and Damian Lillard, we just got to, you know, respect for each other. You know, I respect his game. You know, he's one of the best in the league right now. And he put in a lot of work. And, you know, now he's taking over boxing and doing his thing, too. But, you know, it's just a mutual respect. We ran into each other. And my coach actually went to his game. I missed it because I was in L.A. or New York. But my coach actually went to his game when they played the Dallas Mavericks. And he did his thing. I think he had, like, 40-plus points. Mm. So.
Mm. What's your hoop game look like?
My hoop game, Mike. If you from Texas, you got a hoop. You got a hoop.
You got a hoop.
You got to play basketball. You got to play football.
Did you play those sports growing up? When did boxing become your number one sport?
I played football growing up, but I started boxing at 15 because I started getting in trouble. And my dad, I guess, got worried because I was getting in a lot of trouble. He felt like I was hanging around, you know, the wrong group of guys. And he used to say, you know, I don't mind, you know, it's basically, you know, the devil, you know, I'm not doing nothing. Summertime, he got me in there in summertime, too. He got me in summertime because I was just hanging around, doing nothing, hanging with my friends, you know, walking the streets. He was like, yo, I'm finna get him a boxing. I don't know why he thought of it or what made him think of it, but he thought about boxing, and, you know, it's been a history ever since.
That's what's up. We missed a question I wanted to ask you earlier. As a basketball player, you know, I was someone that really had no major injuries. I tore my meniscus. And to me, coming back, I felt physically fine, but mentally, I was still tripping because I didn't know how my knee was going to react when I just wasn't prepared. You know, basketball's reaction. So I'm wondering if you have that same kind of thought process the first time you go back into sparring, you know, with the situation through the accident with your face and how your teeth, you got some new teeth, you got some nice shiny teeth like me and Jack now. Are there any, like, worries of, like, what's going to happen that first time I take, a left hook to the side of my face that's fucked up?
Nah, man, I'm ready. I mean, I feel like I'm different. I'm ready to fight. I've been waiting for a fight date since... Uh-huh. Man, since probably, when was it? Since January, I've been waiting for a fight date. You know, I thought I was going to fight in August, you know, so it pushed back to October, November, which my parents are happy because they're like, man, you don't need to jump right back in there. I'm like, man, I'm ready. Facts. Like, the doctor gave me a green light. I was like, I'm ready to go, you know, so, I mean, it just feel like it's a blessing that I'm here. It's a blessing that I wasn't, you know, severely injured. You know, I didn't break anything either. You know, I'm ready to fight. And the doctors couldn't believe it. So the doctor was like, man, I can't believe he didn't break anything. Like, it's a blessing. Like, they didn't know what was going on. For somebody to get ejected from a Ferrari and to land on pure concrete, the Ferrari was flipping, too. So I landed on, and for the Ferrari not to hit me, and then I land on pure concrete and, you know, and break everything in my mouth and, you know, and not, you know, have any facial fractures and all this scarred up. And for me to still be walking, you know, I feel like I'm here for a reason.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's for sure. Ain't no question about that. Say, all right, if you had one NBA player that could walk you into the ring before your fight, who would it be?
I'd say LeBron James. LeBron James.
He's your favorite athlete. He's your favorite one to watch?
Right now, yeah, he's my favorite one to watch right now. Yeah, I just respect him. Not even on the field, just what he do outside of the NBA. That's why I respect him a lot. You know, he didn't have nothing to do with basketball. Just, you know, that's how he is, a family man. Yeah, how he put his homeboys in place to win and things like that. Like, you can't do nothing but respect it.
Right.
No scandals with him, no nothing, man. I mean, that's big coming from somebody like him. That's tough.
Yeah, A1.
All the temptation coming his way, that's tough.
Right. I couldn't do it.
what is it like to you, though, when you walk? I know it's basketball. It's different because you're in constant, you know, focus during a fight. But I know, what is it like when you see stars come out to watch you, superstars from other sports, come out to your fights and watch, and you see them sitting ringside? How does that make you feel?
It'll pump you up. It definitely gets your blood flowing. Like I think my last fight, it was like Magic Johnson, you know, Larry Bird out there and things like that. It pumped me up. It just, man, you ready to fight, and you really ready to show out, too. Like, you like, man, I got to show out in front of them.
Right.
So to the next fight, I got to show out. Like, they were saying Martin Lawrence was there and things like that. I was like, man, I got to show out so he comes to the next fight. So it really just makes you want to show out.
Has there been one celebrity that stood out? You're like, damn, he's here in particular or she's here in particular. Is there one that comes to your mind when you've seen them in the crowd?
Nah, because I don't too much look in the crowd.
That's what I was wondering, because like I said, there's more time for basketball. We have timeouts and shit, and we can sit and talk and look who's over here. But in boxing, it's a whole nother mindset.
Yeah, you're really locked in. Like, you got tunnel vision. Like, it's like, this dude trying to kill me, I'm trying to kill him.
Right.
Like, I'm not trying to look in nothing. Like, the only person I can hear my mother. Because that distinct
no matter
voice.
What.
Yeah, I can hear her screaming, that distinct voice. Like, I can always hear her screaming, no matter. First through 12 rounds, I can hear her voice always, but You know, for the most part, you know, you just locked in on your opponent.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Jack.
Top five boxers of all time.
Top five of all time.
Your top five.
Do I have to do, I do an order?
No, just put them in five.
Nah. Okay. However you want. Okay. Don't have to be one through five, just five boxes.
Pernell Whitaker.
Oh, Sweet Pea.
Sweet Pea! Rest Sugar in peace, Sweet Pea.
Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Gerald McCullen, G-Man.
Ooh. G-Man.
Muhammad Ali.
Of course.
Terry Norris.
Terry Norris. People don't know about Terry Norris, man.
Andy from Texas,
yeah.
Terrible Terry.
Terrible Terry, yes, sir.
And Lennox Lewis.
Lennox Lewis.
Yeah. We got that Jamaican connection, so.
That jab.
That
jab was a killer. That long jab, too.
Ooh,
for how big
and
long
that.
He was,
I gotta
too.
Get that.
It was deadly.
I get that.
Say, so if you were offered a three-fight deal, money is everything you can imagine. The money is perfect. Who would be your three opponents?
Three-fight deal. The money was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I do Pacquiao, Terrence Crawford, and who else? Danny Garcia.
Danny Garcia.
No Floyd?
Oh, well, he retired right now. He retired.
Yeah,
of course, Floyd.
Yeah, Floyd, the money go. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's that money trade.
Hey, so man down is the motto, right?
Oh, yeah.
Best knockout so far. See you.
Best knockout so far. Probably Leonard Bundu. It was in New York, probably Leonard Bundu. I knocked him out. When I hit him, I kept walking. Like I had walked off with it. That's why it looked pretty, because his body went too as I walked off. So that was probably the prettiest one.
That's dope. Favorite boxing movie?
I don't have a favorite boxing movie, because they all so fake to me. Like, I was never a Rocky fan. I was never a Rocky fan.
Me neither. But, I hate Rocky, nigga.
I hate Rocky.
I hate that shit.
Because, I mean, they was trying to do it. It took them like 3-4 months to get in this, to be this monster and be in the tip-top shape. I'm like, man, Rocky was just, it wasn't real to me, so I didn't like it.
See, that's, I love it. Hearing that perspective, though, because, like I said, we feel the same way about, like, when they try to do basketball. Like, motherfuckers, it's hard to emulate basketball players. That's why basketball shit don't work. So it's interesting to hear you say that, because, like I said, it's, if you're really in that sport, you know that's not how shit really works. But somehow this
like
is the movies, though.
Like chasing chickens and stuff, man. I wish my coach would put me in the ring. Somebody got to catch these three chickens. Tell him I'll be back tomorrow.
Oh, shit.
Straight up.
I ain't chasing no chicken, man.
We all on quarantine. What you binge watching when you're not training?
Narcos. What else?
Of course.
Man, I done rewatched Game of Thrones because I've been so bored.
Yeah,
Game of Thrones is the shit, man. It took me. I've watched all that shit last year in probably like a month because I was never into that kind of. My mind never took me there. So I was just like, give this shit a try. That shit was unbelievable.
Nah, it's dope, especially the ending.
Hell yeah,
it was dope. Yeah,
they're supposed to have the mother. They're supposed to have Mother of the Dragons. They're supposed to have some other shit coming.
Oh, yeah?
Right? I think so. If I'm not mistaken.
I thought she died, though.
But I think it's supposed to be a prequel.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that. I mean, they made so much money off of it.
Man, what?
Gotta bring it back.
Sure.
I know you in a tough weight loss, you know, dropping weight, trying to shed weight right now. Is there anything you like to snack on, though, during these lockdown times?
Right now, I'm pretty much locked in. Like, I'm really not snacking on nothing. Like, I'm locked in. Like, if I show you my fridge right now, it's nothing in there but waters. Like, I'm locked in. I already got my organic food, everything. Like, I'm basically eating healthy right now because I'm trying to not go back to where I used to go to be like 190, 180, 185.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to stay at 160 so when the fight come, you know, it's not hard. Because it used to be hard on me. I'd be weighing like 180 and then next thing you know, I got a press conference. I go to press conference and I'm spending my whole day in a press conference and I gain like 6 pounds. just being in a press conference just because, you know, you losing water, your body like a sponge. And when you losing water, and then as soon as you drink some water, you gain the weight just like that instantly.
Wow, that's so crazy.
So now I'm trying to do it the right way, and just how I did it back when I was, you know, broke and just hungry. When I used to weigh just 160, 158, and then got down to 147 real smooth.
Tell people what it's like. Like, when you say you're locked in, tell me what your eating ritual is and what kind of food you are eating.
Well, right now, like, in the morning time, I'm eating egg whites, eat avocados, spinach. For lunch, I'm eating spinach, or I might eat a salad. I might eat a salad with some eggs in there. Egg whites in there, mm-hmm. No yolk, because the yolk is mainly just fat. Mm-hmm. For dinner, I'm eating chicken breasts, little brown rice, nothing fried, everything steamed and stuff like that. So basically, I'm cutting out a lot of junk food. I'm a big junk foodie, even when I'm in training camp. Like, I eat a lot of candy.
Me too.
Yeah, man.
How hard is that, though? Because that discipline, that's everything. Because, like I said, I used to cheat like that, too, when I play, because I knew I'm going to bust my ass working to be fine for the season. Now I'm done, and I be eating that shit like, oh, shit, this shit ain't going to come off that easy. You know, how tough is that mental discipline not just to have to always eat the right shit?
The first three weeks to a month is tough. Like, it's tough as hell. Once you get through that first month, then you're good. But that first month is tough because you keep reverting back. Or especially on the weekends, Friday and Saturday, or Sunday, on the weekends, you know, your friends might come over, or, you know, somebody doing something, or you go in your mother's house, and your mother got chips and got cakes and got sodas. You know, you end up you talking to her, you eating at the same time. And then once you get home, step on the scale, like, damn, I got to go running. And then you got to go running again, and you got to work it out in the next week. So, you know, basically with me, I just stay home, man. I just stay home because I know I'm not that mentally tough where I can just go over somebody's house and I'm, you know, and I don't look in their cabinet or I don't look in their fridge or they cooking something. And I say, nah, I'm not going to eat nothing. You know, with me, you know, food is my guilty pleasure, so... You know, when it comes to food, I'm going to eat. That's why I get so high up in weight. So, you know, right now, I'm just cutting everything out. And I'm kind of glad now, because now I'm not going to my mother's house. You know, she's locked in. She's quarantined up. You know, my dad quarantined up, so I don't go over their house at all, because, you know, I'm not hanging around anybody, but, you know, I still be around my kids and stuff like that, and my kids be with their mother. So I don't want, you know... I'll be the reason why my mother or my father catch anything. So, you know, I haven't seen them in probably like a month.
That's tough. Yeah.
You being from Texas, I know you got a great relationship with Yella Beezy, and you got a big background, and you deep into Texas rap. But what are the artists you listen to right now? What you got on repeat?
The new Lil Baby. Yeah. Like, Lil Baby coming to his own, especially. It ain't mumble rap. He's like, you can actually hear what he's saying.
So right. He got a story. He got a story to tell.
Yeah, he definitely got a story to tell. Like, you can tell. Like, dude comes, you know, from the streets. But I'm rocking Lil Baby heavy.
What's your definition of all the smoke? Because you drop that line constantly in your press conferences. So, I mean, obviously, that's the name of our show. What is your definition of all the smoke?
My definition for all the smoke is, you know, I want all the smoke. Anybody. That's for anybody. Whoever. If you're a boxer, whoever want to fight. And that's how I came up. I was coming up, I was like 13, 14 and 0, calling out Keith Thurman, Sean Porter, all these guys. And, you know, now I got two belts, now these guys, and I'm the money guy right now.
Besides you're the hunted.
Now these guys want to fight me. You know, like I tell them, I want to fight you too. I want to fight Keith Thurman. But if it's not making sense right now, like Keith Thurman want to fight me now, he just said that he'll fight me and Terrence Crawford. But me, I'm not interested in fighting in Keith Thurman because he didn't want to fight me when I was coming up. Like, for like 3-4 years, he was like, who is this guy? I don't want to fight. He ain't done nothing. He ain't did this. He ain't did that. So once you get in the position to fight me, then I'll fight you. But for right now, you know, I'm looking at Pacquiao. I'm looking at Terrence Crawford. I'm looking at, you know, the top guys, I want all smoke for all the top guys, period.
Yeah. That's what's up. There's a chance boxing can come back, and this was something that the NBA possibly could be faced with. What are your thoughts on possibly fighting in an empty arena?
For me, it don't matter. I mean, as long as my chick the same.
Hell you talking about? Hell you talking about, right?
Hey man, we just fight for free. So as long as that chick the same, we gonna get to it for real. Yeah,
it's gonna be the same beat down, whether there's people in the stands or not.
Yeah. It's gonna be the same beat down. So as long as the check right, we gonna get in there, we gonna fight.
Talk to him.
Hey, wait, what's your take on boxers and how's your Twitter game and your talking shit game on social media? Like, what's your take on that?
I don't talk shit on Twitter to people unless it's a reason to. Like Terrence Crawford, we might go back and forth, but I'm not talking crap to somebody I don't know or, you know, a Joe Blow or, you know, or some random guy like that. Like, it gotta be a reason for me to talk crap to. Like, Terrence Crawford.
It gotta be beneficial,
it gotta be beneficial. We got something going. We building our fight up. We gonna fight each other soon.
We gonna make money off this shit talking.
We gonna make money off that. Like, I'm not gonna argue with Joe Blow about nothing. And he not in my training camp. He not in the other person's training camp. Yeah. Nobody know who he is, and he wanna talk crap. Because I got a lot of hecklers.
Man, you already know. I can only imagine. You the champ. They're coming for you.
Coming for me hard. I'm talking about my car accident.
I flipped out the car,
everything, you know. I decided to ignore him because I'm not going to see him in person.
Facts. Right.
Maybe somewhere else.
In closing, what do you think you learned the most from your car accident?
Don't take anything for granted. Mm. Like, around that time, I was taking a lot of stuff for granted. I think I was, you know, I was heading down that way anyway. I was headed down that path, you know, to destruction anyway, you know, and I was taking a lot of stuff for granted. And, you know, it was showing, you know, even in the Sean Porter fight, you know, it showed I was, you know, slacking on a lot of stuff. Even in the Mike Garcia fight, even though I beat him all 12 rounds and I won every round, you know, the power wasn't there.
I should have finished him,
but the power wasn't there because I was trying so hard to make weight. Like, even that Mike Garcia fight, matter of fact, the day of the weigh-in, I was sitting in a sauna for an hour, and I didn't sweat. And I had a sauna suit on, and I had a hoodie on and everything. I didn't sweat till like an hour being in there, and that was just to make weight. Yeah, that was just drained. To make weight for the 4-hour drain. And then I could only go up 10 pounds. So I had to watch what I eat and what I drunk. So, you know, I was already headed to that destruction. I think, you know, that car accident was eye-opening for me. Like, I'm like, yo, you tripping right now. Get back on your stuff. You know, you say you do it for your family. You say you want to be a great. You say you want to be a legend. You know, get back on your A game. So, you know, it was just, you know, I think it was a blessing I got into that accident. And, you know, put a lot of things in perspective that I didn't put in perspective at first because I was just so on the high. That, you know, I was floating, so to say. So, you know, it put me down, knocked me down.
That's good though, man. Because one thing I appreciate hearing you say, you know, I've been through my own ups and downs in my career, but it's where you go from that. You know, we thrown in success and we not expecting all the success, but you worked your ass off and you deserve it. But at certain times, it's certain things that we have to learn on our own. But to get the opportunity to go through something like that and to realize, okay, bam, I do have a great situation. I escaped something that most people don't escape. I gotta go a different direction from here. And I salute you for understanding that and admitting that, bro, because a lot of people, they don't learn from their mistakes. They don't learn from it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now, I had to look at myself in the mirror, man. A lot of guys, you know, they get in an accident, they do something wrong, and they don't look at themselves in the mirror. Somebody else can do something, they'll put the fault on them and blame on them and be like, oh, he did that. They'll critique that person. But, you know, when it's time for you to look in the mirror and critique yourself, a lot of guys can't do that. And that's why, it's a tough thing to do. I had to do that for myself, just critique myself and like, yo, you tripping, man. Get back on your A game because I'm the 100 right now. It's a lot of guys that behind me, like how I was, and they coming up behind me. And
they hungry.
You know, it's an X on my chest. They trying to knock me off.
Straight up. Well, I think I speak for a lot of us, man, that we're glad you made it through. We're big fans. Oh, we're excited for the future of what you're going to do. And shit, as soon as the fights get back with fans, me and Jack going to be in the front row fucking with you, man. So thank you again for coming on today and taking a little bit of time with us. We appreciate you, bro.
My boy, thanks, champ. Appreciate you, champ.
Thank you for having me on. Appreciate that.
Good show, Jack. Good show. That's a wrap,
man.
Good job,
my boy.
All the smoke. Okay. You can catch us on Showtime Basketball, YouTube, or all platform streaming podcasts.
All them boys.
There's something about how this place forms a different kind of person.
On my high school team, we had five guys make the NBA.
Kevin Durant way outside,
delivers! We had the county rocking.
You mentioned Prince George's County. People know what it's about. It's the Mecca of basketball.
There are those who come before us, upon whose shoulders we stand.
Being from this area, you have to have tough skin.
The gym became his sanctuary.
PG County guy. Provide buckets for America. You take your
life too serious. Prince George packs a lot of power, a lot of character.
It's nothing that you can do to stop that competitive edge.
We're pushing the community and the culture forward.
It's just in the water.
This life was all I ever wanted.
I'm not leaving. Not yet.
I was hoping you'd say that.
We gotta hit the streets, make some money.
People like us must destroy people like him. Buckle up.
Get Showtime free at Showtime.com.